Good morning, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, Head of Investor Relations at Cellnex, and I would like to thank you all for joining us today for our Q1 2018 results conference call. I'm joined today by our CEO, Tobias Martinez, and our CFO, José Manuel Loaiza, who will lead today's presentation. We have posted this morning a presentation which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks, and then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. After this session, the Investor Relations team will be at your disposal to answer any remaining questions. So now I'll hand over to Tobias. Please, Tobias.
Thank you, Juanjo, and good morning, everyone. And thank you so much for the time today. I would like to start underlining the main milestones of the period, a quarter that has been marked by a solid execution, both operational and financial. If you look, we continue to deliver on organic performance, posting a solid organic growth in line with our guidance. We continue to generate a strong recurrent leverage free cash flow, our main value creation metric, growing at a robust 10%. We continue to focus on finding new sources of organic growth. We are making progress with Iliad, both in Italy and France, under our framework agreements. We have conversations with Salt in Switzerland. We have reached an agreement with Sigfox to provide an IoT network in Switzerland, and we are pursuing a number of small size opportunities across Europe. Fourth, revenues and adjusted EBITDA grow 15 and 20% respectively as a result of our focus on operational excellence. Organic growth, new deals, and our efficiency plan contribute to our adjusted EBITDA margin improvement from 46% to 48%. And our win-win agreement with our staff in Spain has also been implemented. We have a strong pipeline of proprietary deals, working directly with key partners on an industrial approach with the objective to achieve long-term agreements. We are working hard to execute value-accretive projects in 2018. And finally, we are reiterating our financial outlook for the year 2018. If we move to slide number 5, the total POPs have increased 24% in the period, including the contribution of both organic growth and change of perimeter. If we focus on organic growth only, POPs have increased 4% at the top end of our medium-term guidance of 3 to 4%. And finally, the AES nodes have increased 20% year-on-year, and we believe small cells and AES will become a significant contributor to Cellnex business in the future. Flipping slide number 6, you can see an update picture of the results of our growth strategy, with around of 70% of our revenues to be generated by telecom infrastructure services, and around 60% of our adjusted EBITDA to be generated outside of Spain on a pro forma basis. Today, we are present in 6 countries. Our portfolio will consist of 28,000 sites, therefore becoming one of the main independent tower operators worldwide in number of sites. Slide number 7, just to provide some additional background, as you can see in this slide, the historical performance of our key value metrics from 2014, with revenues, adjusted EBITDA, and recurrent leverage free cash flow growing annually at around 20%, a speed that has doubled these magnitudes over this period. Next slide, just to finish my section, a few words on corporate governance and the new proposed composition of the board to be approved at our annual general assembly that will take place on May 31st. As you can see in slide number 8, it has been proposed the appointment of two new independent board members, bringing the total number from the current 10 to 12. Upon approval, the number of proprietary directors will remain at 4, and independent directors will reach up to 7, demonstrating the importance given to achieve a best-in-class corporate governance with a clear majority of independent directors and on track to meet the CNMV recommendation in terms of female representation. It has been proposed for approval the appointment of Anne Bovero, who was managing director of the GSMA between 2011 and 2015 and has developed her professional career in companies of the telecom sector such as France Telecom, Orange today, Global One Communications and Equant. Anne has a degree in mathematics, is a PhD in artificial intelligence and a degree in telecommunications engineering. It has also been proposed for approval the appointment of Maria Luisa Guijarro, who has extensively developed her professional career at the Telefonica Group, where she held positions including Global Marketing Manager, CEO of Terra Spain, Director of Marketing and Business Development, and member of the Executive Committee in Spain as Head of Strategy and Quality. I will now hand over to José Manuel Aisa, who will focus on the financial details of the period. Please, José Manuel.
Thank you, Tobias, and good morning, everyone. Moving to slide 10, you can see the evolution of POPs and our consolidated customer ratio, with increases mainly explained by consistent organic growth and change of perimeter. We have added around 1,000 organic POPs over the last year, reaching a consolidated customer ratio of 1.54, if also considering change of perimeter, which usually contributes with a ratio close to 1. Additionally, we have several commercial initiatives in place in order to secure future organic growth. We are strengthening our partnership with existing customers. We are working under our framework agreements to secure new tenants. We are expanding our relationship with existing technological partners in new countries, and we continue to explore opportunities to provide densification solutions in dense urban areas. On slide 11, you can see a graphical explanation of our adjusted EBITDA performance in the period, the positive impact of organic growth, and the efficiencies achieved is reinforced by the contribution of new deals, which explains the strong adjusted EBITDA growth in the period of 20%. Let me now move to our recurring levered free cash flow generation in the period on slide 12. I would like to highlight that the cash conversion ratio of adjusted EBITDA into recurring leverage free cash flow has been again a strong circa 80%, with a significant margin expansion of around 200 basis in terms of adjusted EBITDA from 46% to 48%. Moving to the table, the contribution of telecom infrastructure services coupled with a very well-managed cost base leads to an adjusted EBITDA increase of 20%.
Maintenance CapEx is below our guidance due to timing factors. Our change in working capital is slightly positive. Interest paid reflect our current capital structure, and taxes mostly reflect our management measures in place and the schedule of payments throughout the year. I think that also in the Q&A section you will find an interesting benchmark regarding our recurrent leverage free cash flow conversion in full year 2017 compared to our peers. And in this page, which I think is page 16, you will see again that Cellnex is on the top of the peers. We're talking about recurrent leverage free cash flow conversion. Moving now to our balance sheet on slide 13, it is important to highlight our strong liquidity position of 1.8 billion euros and the significant level of contracted revenues. In other words, our backlog of 16 billion euros or 20 years of revenues. Compared to December 2017, our balance sheet mostly reflects the increasing debt instruments and their associated cash, while proceeds have been devoted to execution of our growth strategy. Cellnex leverage ratio is around 5.5 times net debt annualized EBITDA, including the full year contribution of new transactions both in debt and adjusted EBITDA. Last but not least, I would like to move to slide 14, where you can see here the details of our debt and our maturities profile. Our debt has an average maturity of 6.1 years. No material refinancing is expected before 2022, and our inflation-linked revenues plus our fixed-rate debt provide us with a strong protection against interest rate increases. In summary, I would like to emphasize a solid available liquidity position, very high contracted revenues of 16 billion euros, no short-term refinancing need, long maturities, highly attractive terms, and a compelling business risk profile with no financial constraints, no covenant, no pledge, no guarantees. And all these together provide us with a wide array of funding alternatives and flexibility. Cash generated by current operations, deals structured in stages, alternative debt instruments, debt financing, or equity partners at project level, among others. You will find further info in our frequently asked question and also in the Excel sheet that we have provided to you in our website. And with all this, we are now available to answer any question. So please, let's open the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Simon Coles from Barclays. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. My first one's big picture. I was just wondering, we're seeing lots of hype and talk about 5G, fiber, mobile edge computing, things like that. I was just wondering if you could talk more about the revenue opportunities you see from this. Are there new revenue streams that you could potentially pursue? And are you having any discussions with operators already around these? Secondly, on corporate governance, there's obviously been a lot of news around Abertis, Atlantia, Dizione, who will be your majority stakeholder. And I see you're expanding the board as well. I was just wondering if you give us some more colour on how you see corporate governance, what you've seen here. Have you spoken to Atlantia or Dizione yet? And then just quickly, maybe linked to the first question, on the UK, it's the last market where I think you don't quite have the scale potentially that you'd want. And I saw you gave an interview recently to Bias where you said there's an organic growth opportunity here. Is that macro towers around new BTS, or is it more of a small cell opportunity? Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Just quickly on your first question, 5G powered by hauling small cells. That is a sector that we believe we are extremely well exposed to. Any underlying trends we are identifying, I think that the opportunity could be quite significant for us. We are very well positioned, and we are working in order to become a neutral technological partner in the very long term of our customers. The thing is that we are in the very early stages, so unfortunately at this point it's quite difficult for us to quantify this opportunity. But we will continue working in this sense. As we are seeing today, our DAS nodes performance is doing great. It is true that we are starting from a quite low base, but we are working in order to make this opportunity significant.
Hi, Simon. I am Tobias. Well, on your second question regarding governance. For us, governance has been an important and is a very important matter. I mean, we think that we should adjust the size and the weight of the new shareholder. And this is the reason why we are enlarging from 10 to 12, because we expect maybe in the next 2 or 3 months to get in Edizione Holding, and therefore they will nominate their 4 board members. So the idea is to reach up to 12, and then Edizione Holding having 4 out of 12. And the second important thing in the governance has been to appoint to women, because we didn't get a lot of women on board, and the full commitment of the company is to improve the female representation on our board. The third question related with UK. We are pursuing different organic opportunities, with different type of infrastructure. This is not just a question of small cells. Obviously, small cells will be part of these projects. I cannot disclose you more information up to date, but it's a combination of small cells, fiber optic, macro cells. So this is more looking the improvement of the current 4G networks and looking 5G as well. So this is the type of opportunities that we are pursuing currently in the UK.
That's very interesting. Thank you.
The next question comes from Roshan Ranjit from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Two questions for me, please. Firstly, this quarter you announced further transition of towers from MásMóvil and additionally some new sites in Italy. Is this a strategy that you will see can support growth in your legacy Spanish and Italian operations in the near term ahead of a material pickup from some of the framework agreements, namely in Italy? And secondly, in France, you highlight that the Iliad agreement is close to bearing fruits. Can you provide a bit more detail there, and if this includes some of the rural rollout that RCEP has mandated from the operators as well? Thanks.
Thank you, Roshan. On the acquisitions we have announced this quarter, I mean, we have discussed that they are small. I mean, we are comfortable with the economics. Those are not big transactions, but we like the economics. Also, we see these deals as a way also to continue strengthening our relationship with customers. So I think those are a type of deals we can continue doing in parallel of other bigger opportunities. So is that a part of our strategy? Of course. On Iliad in France, I would say that our relationship is mostly linked to attracting them as a client on the sites we are acquiring from Bouygues Telecom in cities, in urban areas. Of course, we would like to continue assessing opportunities to extend coverage and help operators densify in quiet spots, but we need to confirm that the framework agreement and the opportunity to capture Iliad as a secondary tenant in France is linked to the portfolio we are building today in France in cities.
So just to be clear, I guess is it fair to say that discussions haven't really started or progressed on the RCEP mandate yet on the rural areas then?
No, it's very preliminary stages. We have recently learned from the of the agreement between the RCEP and French mobile operators, and we are seeing how we can help in this process.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Henry Hurst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just wanted to follow up on France, really. So you've had a few organic tenant additions in France, but it seems to be mostly related to build-to-suit. So can you just talk a little bit about what interest you're seeing for your towers in France? I guess Iliad, it seems like you're still working on the framework agreement, but from the other operators, and when can we sort of start to see, do you think, organic tenant additions that are not related to build-to-suit, but lease up on the towers you now have in France? Thanks very much.
Well, our main third party in France is Iliad, rather than SFR or Orange, but it doesn't mean that SFR or Orange are not asking for colocation, but the main demand is coming from Iliad. This is first. Second one, you have to take into consideration that the acquisition of our current main footprint in the urban areas are rooftops. So we need time in order to adjust the current ground lease contracts. We need some month in order to be ready to allocate to host additional tenants on our rooftops. This is the reason why maybe we need more time to bring you more visibility. But I have to tell you that these urban infrastructures are very well known for all the telecom operators, and they are asking for co-location. So it's a question of timing.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question comes from Sunil Patel from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
I just had two. One is with potential consolidation in France, I just wanted to understand the dynamics of any potential acquisition of Altice Towers and what that means in a consolidation scenario. And, you know, is there potential protection for any buyer? And so to really understand what it could mean if there was a sale of the Altice Towers. And the second was just really an update on Portugal. I really want to understand where we were into that process and when we should find out if there's going to be a potential acquisition there or not. Thank you.
Thanks. Yes, both questions seem to be somehow related. So the first one is about France and the consolidation of different MNOs. We have very little to say on the potential impact of potential transactions of towers. This will depend on the contract that those towers may have or not. So we cannot comment. This is something that we do not know. To be honest, in terms of the consolidation between different players and how is going to end up that process that you are suggesting. Everything is on track, is on work in progress. So it seems that regarding the consolidation of the different MNOs, it seems that this has been a long story, no? So we have no more info than that. It seems it's our... our contracts, for instance, in other geographies, in terms of towering, are fully protected in these scenarios. So second, you were raised in Portugal. You know that, yes, we do have somehow we are interested in understanding the deals that are visible and those that are not visible. And we have to assess those deals from an M&A golden rule
perspective, and we are not going, we have to leave this M&A golden rule. So yes, as any other investment, we will be ready to acquire as long as our criteria are met. And also, as we were saying before in this same question, as long as also the contracts are good enough for our standards. So we have different deals on the portfolio. We are working in different deals. And I think that not only they are visible, but also proprietary deals in which we are devoting a lot of time.
As a follow-up, can I just ask, do you see synergies from the Portugal tower portfolio? Having obviously a very large presence in Spain, are there synergies that are cross-border in this case?
Well, obviously we have operational synergies across Spain and Portugal, but, this is part of the economics, is not all the business case. But yes, we have some operational synergies. We know very well the country, the market, the assets. So this is a target very well known for us. But as you know, in our business case, operational synergies are not dramatic savings.
Thank you to both of you.
The next question comes from Jonathan Dann from RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking the call. I have three very quick questions. One, the first one, would we expect the restructuring in Spain to help EBITDA in 2018? My second question is, I'm just looking at the M&A capex of 111 million. Does that include Bouygues Towers that you've acquired plus the two tower companies you mention in the text? Could you just give us the Bouygues figure, please? And then my third question, probably easy to answer, have you started looking at Dutch towers with T-Mobile? I believe they're carving them out.
Thank you so much, John. On your first question, given that this is a voluntary plan, we will need to wait until we can provide more visibility on when the savings will be seen. The plan has already been implemented. We have reached agreements with unions. So the savings will start to be seen upon the acceptance of the terms by the staff willing to participate in this process. It could be the case that in 2018 we start seeing something, but I think it's just the beginning of the year. So when we have more visibility on the number of people accepting the terms, we will provide more visibility on the savings this year, if any. On your second question on M&A capex, it is true that we have posted at 111 million of M&A capex. Basically, the breakdown is around 3 million for the acquisition of 85 sites in Spain, Masmobile, around 3 million associated with the portfolio of sites in Italy, it's been 214 new sites, and the remaining amount, which is the majority, is linked to the gradual acquisition of sites in France.
And John, you know perfectly regarding the last question, you know perfectly that that we cannot comment, and that's all. But again, we are looking different alternatives in Europe, and for us it's important to cover all of them. So this is what we can say.
Excellent. Thank you.
The next question comes from Ottavio Adorisio from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. A couple of questions and a clarification, if I may. The first is on your adjustments for the IFRS 16. In the presentation, you mentioned that you will be adopting the standards in H1 2018. I double-checked the changes at least you made between the fourth quarter slides and the first one, and I've seen that the pro forma debt under IFRS 16 has been adjusted upwards by 392 million. However, in the fourth quarter, in the same slide, you were adjusting upwards by 512 million. So I'll be interested to know what has changed in terms of the adjustments you make under IFRS 16. Why the debt increase basically has been scaled back by almost 120 million, despite anyway the overall debt has increased. The second one is on the broadcasting. It doesn't receive a lot of color or a lot of visibility during the call, but has been relatively weak in recent quarters. And I've seen that most start on the Q3, and ever since you kept almost the same growth rate and change. So is that the case that that particular impact will fade starting from Q3 18 when we basically lap that effect that you had in 2017, and therefore broadcasting can start stabilizing? And the clarification is on your provision. You have two different figures on the press release and on the slides. In the press release, you mentioned 55 million provision. In the slides, you mentioned 60. I believe that potentially in the 60 includes something else. So if you can basically say what's the difference between the 55 million that is mostly Spain and the 60 that potentially could have also some headcount reduction across Europe. Thank you.
Thank you, Octavio. Very quickly on your second and third, the provision for the workforce agreement is 55. Yeah, simply that we chose to maybe to provide a rounder figure for the presentation. That's why we said around 60, but the accurate figure for the provision linked to the workforce agreement is 55. On broadcasting, I think that you will find in Q1 2018, if you compare that to Q4 2017, you will see a slight increase. So in our view, we've seen the bottom in Q4 2017. Of course, if you compare year on year, you will continue finding declines. But I would say that a Q4 should give you the floor, and from Q1 you can start seeing a more stable performance. It's difficult, as you know, to continue in our business, so it will be maybe a combination of inflation. But in any case, the bottom, the floor should be Q4. And on the first one, 16.
Yes, thank you, Tavio, also for IFRS 16 question. Listen, you are right. I mean, we have been working with PricewaterhouseCoopers and with our auditor in order to assess the IFRS 16 in detail. So what we presented to you back in November 2017 was a first step. What we are presenting here is a second step, which is more refined, which is more fine-tuned. And there is a third step, which will be the presentation of, hopefully, the presentation of the semestrial annual accounts or big year and half year accounts audited as of June 2018. What you can see, Octavio, is back in November, the relationship, our decrease of leverage was only 0.2 times. Right now, the decrease of leverage after the implementation of IFRS 16 is 0.6 times. So, as we work IFRS 16, as we implement IFRS 16 with our numbers, we are able to fine-tune and to reduce the impact of this IFRS 16 into our numbers. Or in other words, to improve the impact of IFRS 16 into our numbers. And this is the key point. Because rating agencies, for instance, are factoring much more debt in our leverage. And what we are understanding from IFRS 16 is that as we speak in slide 19, you will see that we only have 400 million euros of more debt coming from IFRS 16. And also at the same time, we will have an improvement of our EBITDA in 136 million. So if you divide 400 divided by 136, you will have this 3 times net EBITDA, which is less than our current 5.5 times. In other words, fine-tuning process that should end in June 2018, in which we will confirm and we will present to you audited numbers. And what we are seeing is that we are working on the very right direction. And in other words, the net debt of Cellnex after the implementation of IFRS 16 will be less than currently we are presenting to you.
It's all very clear, and thank you very much for that. If I may basically ask a much more generic question, it's a bit of a summary of all the questions you keep receiving, potentially you will be even coming in terms of the M&A. You have very specific criteria how when you will basically engage in M&As and acquire towers. You didn't put within the sort of priority the footprint. In a number of countries, your footprint is not nationwide as yet. So in France, you basically actively increasing that footprint. In Italy, you have made the big acquisitions before the IPO, and you stopped there. You're only doing very small acquisitions. Wind still retain a significant portion of the towers. Those towers do not have any overlapping with your footprint. Given the balance sheet, situation of the new co is not one of the best, it's pretty likely that wind at some stage will probably want to sell these towers. Would that completion of the footprint in Italy be a priority for you, or you only assess any deals according to the financial metrics and not any sort of strategical considerations? Thanks.
Well, listen, and this you know perfectly well, and we have talked many times, Octavio, together about the importance that is for Cellnex, the customer, no, the concept of customer, and we take care of them. We try to understand all their needs. And yes, it seems that Wintre may have these towers you are suggesting, of course, and obviously we know these towers by heart, and they constitute the same network that we are managing somehow, no? So it's the remaining part. As long as our client is happy to proceed, we will be there to help, we will be there to create value for our client and for our shareholders. By the way, also, just this belongs to a remedy package of the European Union, no? So there are many things that have to be considered when talking about this deal.
Yeah, maybe this is not just a question of financial golden rules or return. You are right, Ottavio. This is also a question of the quality of the footprint and how it fits with our current footprint. But this is not the case of wind. We don't have any constraint because the part of the overlapping with our current footprint in Italy are not on sale because those assets are part of the remedy package imposed by the European Commission. So it means that this overlapping doesn't exist as an asset disposal package. Therefore, it is not a constraint, it's not an issue, and obviously for us to go further with Wintre in our current relationship fits perfectly on our strategy.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Luigi Minerva from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking the question. The first is a clarification on the provision. I apologize if you mentioned it already, but can you tell us the number of employees that are attached to the provision you've booked in this quarter? And maybe give us an indication if there is more to come, let's say, this year or in the next two or three years. Secondly, it's on Italy, and just going back to the comment you make in the presentation about Iliad, you know, our impression is that their approach to deployment will be very light and gradual over time. And I'm wondering whether, you know, instead, and I think that's been your message as well from previous calls, do we read something incremental in the comment you make, a more accelerated own network from Iliad? And last question is whether the change in ownership with Edizione Holding becoming the first shareholder with Atlantia should bring a change in strategy. You know, any color from your early discussions? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Luigi. The quick answer to your first question, the amount directly linked to this provision is 55 million, and it is calculated under the assumption that 180 people in Spain will accept these terms. Okay? We are not envisaging a further acceptance below these numbers. So that is the amount that is fully provisioned this quarter. That is also the amount of people we believe that will accept these terms. And it is true that this is a gradual process. The provision has been booked this quarter, but it will be over the coming quarters, so 2018-19, that these people will be leaving the company, and therefore we will start seeing the savings.
Yeah. Well, second question, Luigi, about Iliad. I have to say that the current rollout of Iliad is as expected. From Cellnex. I mean, we never saw an aggressive, strong rollout in Italy. And we were and we are in our covering our expectation. We are reaching our projections, I mean. I do believe that we could show you more attractive figures in the last quarter of 2018, because you are right, Luigi, the rollout of Iliad up to date has been, at least, let me say, prudent, if I may. Having said that, I have to say that we are already provisioning hundreds of services to Iliad, so we are extremely happy of our current relationship with Iliad. Everything is on track, and we, at least from our point of view, the achievements are on track. Third, regarding our new shareholder, Edizione Holding, well, first of all, I have to say clearly that we are very happy having Edizione Holding as a main shareholder. And why? Because this is a long-term investor who knows very well the infrastructure business, and with a lot of competence, if I may, in the telecom sector, thanks to Marco Patuano. So all in all, fits perfectly with our current strategy. They know the company, they know our equity story and our strategy. And I think they were very vocal, being supportive on our current and future strategy. So we this is the reason why we are happy, because fits perfectly with our current and future strategy.
Okay, very clear. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good morning. A few questions. The first is a follow-up on the IFRS 16. In particular, I'm trying to understand if you see any impact on your leverage ability from the leverage that you are getting from this application, or is it just a nominal improvement? Second question, on the broadcast business, I wonder if you are you could be interested also in M&A on the broadcast or mixed tower portfolio. And third question is on small cells. do you think that at some point in the future you will be able to provide some quantification of the opportunity, and if yes, when, what could be the timing for this? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the questions. Regarding IFRS 16, the net debt we have is the same. I mean, the nominal net debt is the same. The only thing that changed here is how rating agencies factor IFRS 16 within the numbers. When they capitalize the leases we have, the rating agencies tend to capitalize more money than IFRS 16 is taking into account. So for us, it's just pure accountancy and somehow allow us to benchmark better Cellnex vis-a-vis the American peers. So that's the key point, but at the end of the day, the nominal net debt will be the same, okay? Mm-hmm. That's all. Regarding the broadcasting business, well, you know that we are we have what we have, and that's all. And regarding broadcast, you know that we talk about this largely in November. Our vision as manager is to increase our exposure to telecom infrastructure services, and the other lines well are not in increasing point of view.
Sure. On your last question about Automedico, we are small sales. We would love to do so. I think that again we are still in early stages. We believe this will be an opportunity. We are seeing mobile operators in Europe trying to maximize the capacity of the networks we have in place. So that what we are maybe facing now in Europe is an issue with demand, mobile operators willing to monetize previous investments, trying to maximize existing capacity. We, in the shorter term, maybe we do see an opportunity in the area of indoor coverage based on DAS. This is, you know, that we have our Comscom project in place. We are also expanding our credentials outside of Italy. We have a contract with the Atletico Madrid Stadium, the Wanda Stadium. We are the providers of the densification solution. We are also assessing several opportunities in the UK, so we are active in this area. But in terms of trying to quantify this today, is very, very difficult for us. Of course, as we gain more traction, as we see more demand, we will try to provide more figures.
So another question, if I may, on the current deal that you are studying. So should we assume that the financing of this deal is still, say, possible through the existing, say, cash available, or would you be ready to consider also some equity raising?
Well, not only we do have the cash. This 700 or 800 million euros, we have also credit lines, so total liquidity will be up to 1.8 billion euros. So obviously what I presented in the slide before is that we are fully aware of the cost of the different instruments, and we are going to be quite disciplined here. So our top priority is to create value for you. We have different levers before considering the equity raise. If so, it has to be well justified, and after a transformational deal, an important deal in which our recurrent leverage free cash flow per share is also accretive for you. So everything is open, but being aware that we will try to optimize all the resources, obviously, no? A structural flexibility here is key, and we have always been very clear, no? Take into account many of the deals we have done in the last year. We have also the capacity to pay the enterprise value in different installments, and this is very good because it helps to the business. No? So different angles. We feel very comfortable with the current leverage of the company. Very, very comfortable. As we were saying before, IFRS 16 is somehow in the very right direction. So let's keep on working in this way.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello. good morning. Three questions, if I may. The first one is related with the lease cost in your P&L. Taking a look on the unitary cost per site continues to fall, and I would like to understand at which extent this decrease is also coming from the mix of sites that is derived from the M&A, and at which extent the decrease is coming from the initiatives that you are implementing that you have presented some quarters ago, and at which extent which is still the potential to reduce the ground lease per tower in average basis, or what are your plans there? The second question is related with network services line, which is falling 3% year-on-year. Just to, willing to know at which extent do you see this trend sustainable, or how this drop can be offset in next quarters. And the third question is related with broadcasting. You have already in the past stated that you are not expecting the second digital dividend to impact your profitability. But I would like to know at which extent new standards in TV, like for example hybrid TV, may generate any kind of revenue opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. On the, maybe starting with the potential impact of the second digital dividend, we have already submitted to the Spanish administration a technical plan that is basically trying to protect the existing number of national multiplexes. And as you know, our revenue generating unit in Spain is the national multiplex. So as long as we manage to keep that, that is why we are not expecting any impact. Maybe a different issue is in the very long term, but specifically linked to this process. Specifically into this process, we aren't expecting any impact on our revenues.
No, and maybe if I may, sorry, Juanjo and Fernando, I have to say that below 700 megahertz doesn't make sense for telecom purposes. This is very important to understand. The future of the telecom development will be in the high frequency bands and not below 700 megahertz. This is key. Otherwise, we will see a big antennas on our mobile phones. This doesn't work, as you can imagine. So this is just to reinforce that this is not a threat for the company. And the second digital dividend will remain the same number of multiplex. This is the transmission unit for us. So it doesn't matter if it's a high definition or ultra high definition inside. This is just to provide you more comfort, not just for the next second digital dividend. It's even more. Look in the future, telecom will not be below 700 megahertz because it doesn't work.
Just a quick question, Fernando. It is true that there is an align, other network services align data provides quite a lot of volatility compared to maybe other business lines. Maybe we have a combination of different sub activities being provided in Spain. So basically, what you see is the contribution of several activities at the same time that we report under this line. Also, maybe an activity within this area that provides some increases and decreases is linked to the emergency communication service we provide. In some cases, something we do is to provide handsets to our customers, firemen, policemen, and this is an area that a very low margin activity. Basically, we resell handsets to our customers, so when we post more activity, also there is an associated cost linked to that. But that is what's explaining the increases, for example, as we saw in Q4 2017, and now the decline in Q1 2018. In any case, I would say that going forward, the level you should be expecting quarterly is what you are seeing today, with some increases and decreases based on these different performance of the sub-activities we provide. Finally, on leases, what we are seeing, the declines we are seeing today is mostly the result of our OPEX efficiency program, the cash advances. I don't think M&A is providing with any, it is true that new towers contribute with their associated ground lease, but that the majority of our initiatives are focused on Spain and in Italy, and this is where we are mostly showing these savings. We, for modeling purposes, maybe in the medium to long term, you can expect that natural increases in OPEX should be compensated with our continued efforts in our OPEX savings, but it is true that in the shorter term we are seeing even reductions. For how long that is sustainable, that depends on our ability to continue finding new ways to continue executing this cash advance program.
Thank you. The next question comes from Albert Kerner from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Gentlemen, just a question on clarification on the voluntary leave plan. I appreciate that you can't disclose because you don't know what the timing will be, but what kind of savings are you aiming for in total as a full year impact? And then second, you indicated that you were debating on whether or not to chase an opportunity in fiber in the UK. Should I see this as, fiber inner city and really just for small cells, or what type of fiber are you targeting? Thank you.
Thank you. On the win-win agreement, on the agreement with our workforce, we are expecting maybe a run rate saving of around 7 million euros when everything is completed. Again, we lack visibility on the actual contribution of this program because, as I mentioned earlier, that very much depends on when staff accepts these terms. But when everything is completed, we might be talking around 7 million of EBITDA improvement linked to these savings.
Yeah, talking about fiber optic is not just linked with small cells or DAS. Obviously, looking 5G will be more relevant than having a fiber optic. This is a fact. But we are not, tackling this type of projects without a customer contract or a customer commitment. Currently, we are in a very advanced negotiation with one of our main customers in order to deploy on behalf of our customer fiber optic to the antenna. When we talk about fiber optic, we are referring about the last mile. This is maximum. And obviously, fiber to the antenna. I think it's a synergetic business when you have a long-term relationship with your customers. I mean, you cannot afford the future without fiber optic if you want to be in the 5G world. And this is the reason why we are facing accordingly with our customers, and we will be there for sure.
Okay, just to clarify, is that then something you would also consider in all the other geographies that you're active in?
Well, just where we are today. I mean, first of all, is to manage, to own wireless infrastructures. Then we can consider to develop on top of that further type of infrastructures and services like fiber optic connectivity to the antenna.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Okay. See?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Hello?
John, go ahead.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Hi, sorry. The line went dead. So I'm assuming it's my turn. So it's Giles from Jefferies. I have three questions, probably the last questions. Certainly M&A in nature. So the first one was as you look at your businesses in France and Italy today, and putting aside timing or price, and focusing purely on industrial and strategic logic, which is a higher priority market for you to consolidate at this point in time? Second question, actually isn't anything to do with M&A at all. It's about organic growth. You're now explicitly referencing a live dialogue with Salt in Switzerland, which is promising from an organic growth perspective, and you've also signed up the Sigfox operator there too. So it'd be useful to be reminded of how much headroom you have to your tenancy ratio under the current emissions rules in Switzerland. And finally, from where I sit, I'm seeing some skepticism being expressed as to whether the MSA approach will actually remain, will be sustainable for mobile operators as a way of avoiding IFRS lease capitalization implications. You've been out with that approach for a year now, and certainly one auditing cycle for some of your customers, and an auditing cycle for the credit rating agencies. So it would be useful to get any feedback you have on how the MSA approach is holding up. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your questions. Let's start by the last one, and we will. Yeah, IFRS 16 and regarding our customers, okay, we have our contracts, our master service agreement, that are compliant with IFRS 16, not with IFRS 16, obviously, and we have this work performed with Deloitte, with Ernst & Young, and also with Price, and now we are working with the last one. Okay, so it's a process, and from a accounting perspective, this is done. Or almost done. It's only one big four that is remaining, no? It's a question of time. Second, you are talking about other stakeholders, no? Listen, you know what's happening here, that IFRS 16 has not been implemented yet. IFRS 16 should be implemented on an early stage this year, but I think Cellnex will be the only company in Europe that will do it. And all the companies have the obligation to start reporting IFRS 16 as of January 19. So at that time, we will see what different stakeholders are going to do with IFRS 16. IFRS 16 has something which is good, which is going to do comparable many things that as of today were not comparable. So we will require a little bit of time to understand the implications in other stakeholders. Not only rating agencies, also banks, bondholders, also I would say to you even investors, no? Maybe we are in front of one of the largest changes in accounting ever. So it is normal that different stakeholders are taking different views. However, regarding the first step in this process, which is the big four audited companies, I can tell you that right now, Deloitte, Price, and Ernst & Young fully back our view, our accounting view, on our contracts, master service agreement contracts. And the rest of the questions, maybe, Tobias?
Yeah. Well, coming back to your first question related with M&A, priorities. For us, it's not just a question of countries, geographies. I mean, when we approach an opportunity, we like to understand the benefits, the value creation at the end of this transaction. I mean, beyond of an M&A, we like to talk about return of investments. Why? Because sometimes we are seeing that some opportunities, let me say, are so expensive. I understand that we like very much M&A, we like very much inorganic growth, but sometimes, mainly, the best investment is on your current customers. Why? Because you are improving your customer loyalty, you are improving your backlog, you are reducing your risk in the meaning of you have a track record with your customers, so you know very well how does it works in the meaning of day-by-day operations. And this is the reason why we are paying a lot of attention in order to work with our current customers. And maybe this is not just, it's not always very attractive. Let me say attractive in the meaning of M&A, relevant highlights in the press release. But being with our customers is very relevant when we have to face also an important change of technology from 4G to 5G. And this is the reason why for us the main objective, the main priority is to serve our current customers, to work with them, and then to find synergies in the current 6 countries that where we are. But first of all is to serve our current customers. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to define the border between organic or inorganic growth, because when we talk about, edge computing, fiber optic, small cells, it depends on the final CAPEX allocation. This is the reason why we don't want to sacrifice, let me say in that way, our firepower just for growth, just for inorganic growth. And your second question was related, if I am not wrong, about organic growth.
Switzerland.
Switzerland. Okay.
Very simple question. How much tenancy headroom do you have?
Well, sorry, because it's difficult with the current electromagnetic limits. But first of all, Switzerland should review these limits for sure. Otherwise, they cannot roll out the 5G network. But I have to say that we are overperforming from our acquisition business plan. But maximum would be two tenants per site. But with the current limit in Switzerland and mainly in the urban areas, I do not expect more than 1.6, 1.7.
Yes.
Very clear. Thank you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions. I now give back the floor to the company. Thank you.
So we have now reached the end of this session, and I would like to thank you all for your time today. And as always, the Investor Relations team will be at your disposal to answer any remaining questions. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.